at the intro, discussion that we're dealing with tonight was birthed out of our young adult group, the Lives in Transition Lit group. Someone had asked a question primarily concerning, you know, Christians' affiliation with Masonic or Greek letter organization. So Masonic or Greek letter organization. And so someone kind of asked, okay, is it a conflict, you know, for you? And I want to say, I want to emphasize you, because I got a feeling no matter how we talk about this tonight, everybody's not going to be in the same boat when it comes to their understanding of where they are. And some people will evolve over time. Some people may never evolve, and the intent is not to do that here tonight. But the intent is for you to determine if being in any of these organizations is a conflict for you. Not your neighbor, not your brother, not your sister. It's all about you and how you see what you're doing and what is being done, and whether or not you can support that. Now, it also, it should be stated that, you know, as Christians, though, we should base everything that we do off the scriptures. You know, we should be have some scripture support one way or the other. And so, and I know now some of you may not be able to speak freely because of, you know, certain vows you made, some commitments you made. I know when I was doing certain things, there were certain things we were told we could not talk about publicly outside the group that we were in, so I wouldn't try to make someone go against that if you feel like you hold that vow that strong or that oath that strong in this conversation. But again, if you decide to share, you know, that's fine. However, I hope that after we finish tonight that you will do some personal reflection and some time of discernment, and so that you will determine, you know, if it's for you. If it's a conflict for you, it may not be a conflict for someone else. And so I just want you to look at that from that standpoint, because most of you should be familiar with what you're in. A lot of times I know when I was coming up, and I can talk, and I'll talk freely here a few minutes about Freemasonry, because I was a Mason. And so when I got in as a young guy, I really got into for being a fellowship of brothers, you know, doing certain things. They kind of sold me a bill of goods that if you do this, there are certain benefits for being in. You're part of a brotherhood and all that. And so I didn't pay that much attention to none of that official stuff. I just wanted to do what I need to do to move up the ladder. I wasn't trying to think about reading the oath real close to see what it's saying, what these symbols come from. I didn't do none of that because I knew the guys that I was joining up to. And so it was years later after I had kind of did some study on my own and saw some things that kind of troubled me a little bit that made me make another decision. But at the time, you know, if you had asked me what I oath meant, I wouldn't have told you. If you had asked me most of the symbols, man, I wouldn't have been able to tell you early on. But after a while, I could go back and do that. So I'm pretty sure when we do things of that nature, a lot of times we don't always get full clarity until much later. And so since I would use Masonry as a starting foundation, then I turn some things over to Will, let him talk, because it came out of the young adults group. And then because I can't talk about what fraternities and sororities do because I don't know what they do, you know. So, but I do know there are certain things that's common to any type of organization, whether you're the Royal Order or the police force or whatever organization you're in. They all have some kind of similarity, some ties there to some degree. And so what I want to do is just kind of give a quick historical sketch based on what I could find and what I remember about Freemasonry, as well as sororities, fraternities of that nature. Now, Freemasonry was kind of originated. Normally, the term you'll see if you're paying attention to alphabets, you'll normally see a term AF and AM or F and AM. And normally, ancient free and accepted Mason and free and accepted Mason. And from my understanding, the reason there are two of them is because just like everything else in America, it was segregated. You know, you had your white Masons and you had your black Masons. You could tell which one was which by the letters on the car and things like that. But all the rituals were the same. It just that when I came through the lodge, we was black lodge and I was white lodge. So Masonry kind of originated back in between the 14th and 17th century, you know, during medieval times. There was some stone Masons, it was the guilds. And I would guess these guilds would be the easiest I can think of it like unions. And they came together to make sure that certain practices were honored, that they would do the same thing certain ways. But from that coming together and forming these guilds, became it evolved into a fraternal organization that embraced symbolism, rituals, and moral teachings. You know, often referenced in Masonry, it was often referenced to King Solomon's temple. And that's when I came in and understood that part. That was the part that got me kind of intrigued, because it was talking about the Bible. I had to go to the Bible and read about temple. Most of the names that we held near and dear came out of the Bible. I could find those names in the Bible. And so therefore it made a little bit of sense to me, even though I wasn't a student of the Bible, but because we did go to the Bible to find these things and talk about King Solomon's temple, that kind of made it okay for me at the time. Mortar Masonry was officially organized in 1717 in England, forming the first Grand Lodge. And some of the beliefs and practices, again, just kind of read some quick things. I did quick research, or didn't do no in-depth study. When I got out of Masonry, I went and read a book that was called Freemasonry Exposed, where a guy who was in, he wrote this book to expose everything that was done in the organization, where it came from, who did it, da-da-da-da. And so I read that to kind of justify my decision, why I made the decision to get out. But before then, the things that he was saying was true. Some practice and belief of Masonry. It is not a religious organization. Even though the lodge I was in, most of us were religious. Most of us was Christians. But when I dug a little deeper in there, I didn't understand at the time. Even though it was not a religious organization, it did promote a belief in a supreme being. Okay, a higher being, a higher source, symbolic of, you know, in our lodge you had the all-seeing eye, the G in the square and the compass, God, or represent geometry. And at that time, I didn't know enough to ask the question, what does that really mean? What does that really mean when we say a supreme being? Who is this supreme being? It didn't matter to me at the time, because I wasn't trying to in quest of Christian knowledge. I was just trying to get in the lodge. But then as I grew and I asked the question, do you have to be a Christian to be a Mason? They said, no. All you have to do is believe in a supreme being. Well, who is that supreme being? Well, it could be, if you're in this religion, it could be this person. If you're in this religion, it could be that person. And I said, okay. That was when the first flag went up for me. This supreme being don't have to be Jesus. He don't have to have a play in this. And then that made me start looking at America and how our founding fathers, most of those guys were Mason. The George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of Mason. When you look on the back of the dollar, you'll see certain symbols that come out of Masonry on the dollar, but it ain't on other dollar, other bills, but on the $1 bill. You can just ask what those symbols represent and where they come from. And so that was a flag for me. We talked about the great architect of the universe, but we never just said straight up God, Jesus Christ. It was the all-seeing eye. Got it. Light, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Okay, that makes sense. I keep rolling. And so as time went on, you know, we were encouraged to pursue certain things that was good. And that's what kept me in early on, because it did teach about moral uprightness, talked about charity, talked about personal involvement. And so that's what I liked about it when I got in, because I wasn't deep into the church. But the lodge was doing a lot of good things in the community. You know, we was buying toys for kids. We was getting turkeys for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We was doing all that good outreach type stuff that I thought was great. But then once I joined the church and found out that what the church ought to be doing, I said to myself, if I can find a church that's doing all these good things like this, this, and this, I don't need to be in that to get the same effect. That was for me. That was for Larry Bolden. And that was some years later. It was many years later before I came to that conclusion. Now, many Christian leaders and theologians have raised concerns when it comes to Masons or organizations similar about this, what they call syncretism, S-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-I-M, meaning that, and that's a true statement, it promotes a supreme being by allowing a lot of different entities to come together to say we're part of this brotherhood. So we can be in this brotherhood, but now in order to be in it, I don't have to identify myself as a Christian All I got to do is believe in the supreme being. So therefore, Jesus is not the center of it. And so therefore, it makes it more acceptable when you don't highlight Jesus. Because the minute you highlight Jesus, it changes to a Christian-based organization and not just a nice organization of men, brotherhood, doing certain things. So that was a kind of one of those things about me, about it that got me. Then, you know, we went through our rituals and oaths, and I know I'm not supposed to, but we had all kinds of symbols. I learned them because that's what we had to do. I learned all the symbols. I learned what they meant. And I was told that, okay, if you know these things, when certain things happen to you, flash your symbols. You get stopped by a highway patrolman, make sure in your wallet you got a square and a compass, so when you open it up to get your driver's license now, he'll see that. Because most highway patrolmen are affiliated with some type of fraternal organization. Okay, that's a Benny. You know, when you write people, get you a little seal and put it on your letterhead and stamp it so that people will know what you represent and who you're a part of, because they're all over the world, some great people in this. And you and we take a vow that we're going to look out for each other. Okay, that's a good selling point. Yeah. But then I start thinking, the church ought to be doing the same thing. But again, the church wasn't my priority. So I kept pressing on with what I knew at that time when it comes to the organization. The spiritual authority piece came to me when it looks like sometime, if you're not careful, the things that you do could replace or rival biblical authority. And the organization can become bigger than Jesus in your life. You know, it can be consuming. You can be, you know, if I hadn't got saved for real and got serious about Jesus, I probably would be a 33rd degree Mason right now. Because I was determined that I was going to rise up the ladder. I was going to do whatever it took take to get up there, because that was what I wanted to do. I thought that was the greatest thing. I heard about all these powerful men who are 33rds and they can do this. And boy, you can be the this over that. And I said, yeah, that's me. I can do that. But I got interrupted with Jesus. So when I fell in love with him, all those aspirations just kind of fell by the wayside. But I was still in the organization. It was only when I went overseas that my attitude really changed, because overseas, we were more party organization than we was a helping the community and all that organization. It was all about the show, the flash, and all of that. Not that was just where I was at overseas. I'm not saying it was everywhere overseas. And so that kind of made me now focus on the church aspect of my relationship with Jesus and not the large aspect. So I eventually stopped going to meetings and stopped doing that and started doing all the stuff I do now in church. Start teaching, start, you know, becoming a part of the church, active in church. So that kind of gave me another out to say, okay, I can find peace with doing this if I decide to give up that. And so that's kind of like a quick synopsis of my understanding where I was. Now, on the other side, now I can't talk, you know, from any strong credibility when it comes about Greek letter and fraternity sorority. I can only tell you what I found. And if this is not right, then y'all who are part of can let me know. But it was believed that they began somewhere in about the late 1700s in American colleges. I guess they say Phi Beta Kappa in 1776 was the first. These organizations were inspired by classical Greek ideals of scholarship, brotherhood, and moral virtue. A Greek letters often symbolized mottos, moral lessons, and philosophical themes. Some beliefs and practices, most are social, a service organization promoting leadership, academic success, and community involvement. Typically, the organization will involve some type of initiations, like we did in Lodge, chants, calls, salutes. I don't know, maybe so, but I do hear certain signs when I go out. I hear people twirling and tweeting and all that, so I know that's unique to the organization, because that's the chant. I guess everybody voted to know what that means. I don't know. When I was in the Lodge, I knew what certain symbols mean. When we did a certain thing, stood a certain way, did a certain thing with our hand movements, I knew what that meant. So if I came up and shook a brother's hand, once I started searching his knuckles, I could tell who he was, where he was in the organization. So I'm believing that even in the fraternities and sororities, there is some secrecy in that, where they each have their own little symbols, codes, way they communicate with each other so that the rest of the world don't know what they're doing. Maybe that's a simplistic way of saying that. Now, most of, like I said, social, leadership, academic success, and all that involvement, the initiations, mythological symbols, I can't talk with any authority on what they mean, but I would encourage anyone, if you're in an organization, go back and look at all that. Symbols mean something. Letters mean something. What you stand for means something. So I would go back, if I was in an organization now, I would go back and read the oath that I took and see exactly what I'm swearing to, and can I bounce that off of the Bible in some way? Is there anything in there that may conflict with the Bible? Because again, I don't remember the oath that I took, but I know it was long, and I know it sounded good, and we had some nice words in there, some things that we said we wouldn't do. But then after the large meeting was over, we did. So it let me know, just like anything else, being a good Christian don't make you a good Christian because you come to church. So it didn't make me a good Mason because I was going to the lodge, because when we left the lodge, we dogged out. We were straight up dogs. But that was just kind of the culture that was brought up in. And so sometimes my issue has always been, even when my sister was pledging, and I just share this testimony, God rest her soul, when she was in college up at Skagit, I went to see her one weekend, and I'm just, you know, in the military, come back, and she was telling me what she was going through. She was online. And I say, that's crazy. I don't know what you got to be in that organization for. Why do you want to be in a, and this is what she kind of told her, and I don't know what she's supposed to tell me, that big brother, she just wanted me to bounce stuff off me. She said, well, yeah. I said, well, what'd they do to you? She said, well, one, they took us to a cemetery blindfold in the middle of the night and left us. What? You got to go to a cemetery in the middle of the night and get left to be a part of the organization? Yeah. Okay. You was okay with that? Yeah. Got it. What else they do to you? Well, they made us put our face in a toilet and put a banana in it. And we had to do that to go through the thing. So, that dog don't hunt here. And so I've always been anti-hazing. I don't believe you ought to come into an organization and you have to be beat in, hazed in, and all that. I think if it's a brotherhood, we love each other, you ought to just be able to shake hands and call it a day. Now, in the lodge, they beat us into. You know, they blindfold us, drug us around the room with a rope around our neck, blindfold hand behind our back, and they were beating us as we were going through. I thought it was a slave. I mean, they were dead. And I asked, when I got through, I asked them, why did we beat brothers? I thought we was all brothers and sisters. Why all brothers? Why are we beating each other like that? But we got the serious beat down, and then they took us up on this 12-foot ladder. And we didn't know, we were still blindfolded. They helped us get to the top of the ladder, and then someone hit us in the chest. Bam! And you falling off this ladder, you don't know they got a mattress or something back there to catch you, but it's just a factor that it happened, and all in the dark. But at that time, I wanted to be in so bad, it didn't matter. I was just ready to do it to the next guy. Because once you come through, you get the opportunity to do it to the next set of guys. So, I done did my turn. So when the next guy come through, they're going to get the beat down. They got to feed us good. Because when you say, some, I don't even know why we said stuff like this. A full goat don't buck. And I'm saying, what is a full goat? Don't buck. That means that if you're the new guys, you got to feed us tonight. And if you don't feed us right, you subject to get a worse beat down. When we come and look at the menu. What? Now, maybe that was just my lodge over in Mississippi. Maybe they don't do it all like that. But that's just what I went through. And I was glad to be in it, man. I mean, after I got through and they beat me down and they told me I done got my third degree, the next day they gave me my little apron that night. I went out and bought my ring, all my jewelry. I had the two balls and a cane. I had everything. I mean, I was lit up. I mean, because I was on fire. I mean, I was in. I mean, I wanted everybody to know that I was in. I'd be standing on the street corner with my little sign. You know what I mean? So do anybody know who I am? Now, I know something that everybody else will know. So that kind of gave me that esoteric fic, you know, in your mind, kind of like, I know something that other people don't know. Only a small group of people know what this handshake means, what this stance means, what this dot, dot, dot means. And then when I looked up there, I was literally saying that if I would tell anybody what I had been through, that I would be willing to cut my own and pull out my own. I said, whoa. Whoa. Is that serious? Some people took it that serious. I didn't. But years later, for whatever reason, you know, I give you the whole story, I decided to, you know, get out. And so when we see these things that we talk about, rituals, chants, and concern, there is some concern there. And I would tell anybody, go and bounce it off the Bible. And the last one is the cultural thing, and I think I kind of mentioned that. All Greek organizations don't have a reputation for partying, sexual immorality, or alcohol abuse, but a lot of them do. I mean, the party is all about the party to be down, you know. And the Mason, we did too. Some of us didn't drink as much as others, but we was going to all party after the meeting was over. We was all going to the club. We're going to all get towed down, and then we're going to all chase women, even though we were married. And we just took an oath in the lodge to say we would not do certain things, but then we left the lodge and did just the opposite. Now, I'm not saying all people do that. I'm just saying that's how we operated in the lodge that I was in. But I was new, so I just followed the crowd. So it looked like all these guys cheat on their wife. All these guys do this. All these guys like to party and drink, da-da-da. Now, me and my partner who got me in, he was a devout believer. And my story, I'm going to turn over the wheel. And he was a deacon in the church, but he started me to go into church with him. And once he started me to go into church with him, I started reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Then I started to bounce it off what I learned in the lodge. Okay, find out that when all things didn't always line up. Even though there were some biblical principles in there, didn't always line up with how Jesus presented certain things. And here's how I knew for me it was time to let it go. I had went to Spain. Now, I was in Germany at the time. He was still in Biloxi. We hadn't talked to each other in about 3 years. But when I left Biloxi, I was on fire for the Lord, but I was still on fire for the lodge, because I love going to lodge, I mean, I love that. So I was on fire. But after being overseas in Spain and seeing how we operated over there, by the time I got to Germany, my heart had started to change, because now I'm a deacon in the church, and I'm teaching Bible study, and I'm being occupied by doing things in the kingdom of God. God is my witness. I was in Germany some 3 to 4 years after I left Biloxi. He sent me a letter. I sent him a letter. Our letters crossed in the mail, going across the ocean. He get his letter, and I'm telling him, hey, man, I'm giving up the lodge. I think I done found out that I can get there with Jesus, and I don't need the square and the compass. His letter said the same thing, that he was finna walk away from the lodge too. And for me, that was just confirmation that, hey, ain't for me. I don't knock nobody. I got 2 daughters that done been over and in lodge, in for sororities, all that. But I do think people need to take a deep look at what you're signing up to, what your vows are, what your oaths are, because those words are not just there. They mean something. Any questions for me before I turn over the wheel, since this started upstairs, I mean, over in the across the hall with the young adults? Any questions? Any question at all? Okay. Well. Then I may come back and have some reflection things that I'll share with you.
Amen. Good afternoon. So, kind of piggybacking off of what Pastor just talked about, right? Because when you start talking about sororities and fraternities and then the concept of Freemasonry, they all are kind of branches that come from the same vine. And so Freemasonry obviously being before the concept of fraternities and sororities, but you know, I think it's interesting where Pastor kind of finished, and as he kind of threw that alley-oop, it's really important for us to pay attention to what rituals and oaths are we willing to accept based on what we see. So the first thing kind of have written down is, why are we doing this, right? And we're doing this because somebody asked. Like literally somebody in class made a comment and about Christians and their involvement with fraternities and sororities. And because that question was asked, that perked pastor's ear and was like, yo, this needs to be brought to the forefront if it's even a question, because so many members here at Strive and Participate. My personal, true personal bias, I honestly don't have any interest in it, in either of it, because my personality is just not designed for groups like that. I told Pastor that. I've never had any interest in being a part of a group. I've been invited to be in the Masons. I've been invited to be in frats. I think I'm saying that one right. I've been invited to be in them, but my personality, and because I got married so early, it just kind of put me in a position where I was like, I know I won't invest any time into it, and I'm not interested. But, so I had an opinion of it that spiritually something never set right for Will with it. How that sits for everyone else is how God deals with you. But for me, spiritually, it never sat a certain way. So I kind of want to start off by reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. And it reads, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." Now, why am I saying that? The reason I'm saying that is because sometimes we come into the truth of things, and I remember reading something before that said a great way to identify when you're getting close to the end times is when we're willing to put walls around truth, right? So, again, none of this is coming from a personal bias. What is the goal? If there are any spiritual strongholds associated with these frats, sorrows, masonry, anything like that, we as believers have a responsibility to kind of look inside to our Father, look to our Father and ask him, okay, is this what you're calling us to do? Let him give us the revelation behind it. And so let's put some biblical context behind this as well. And I'll kind of start with origins. Whenever you talk about the origin of something, you're talking about the beginning. If when you looked at where pastors started with Freemasonry, the first place he went was, what is the history of this thing that I'm talking about? What was its original intent? One of my favorite sayings that we play about at the house is, a swastika is a cross too. But I don't wear a swastika for a reason. So, and I'm not going to take a swastika, put it around my neck, and then say, okay, this is Christ-related because I decided it was Christ-related. The origin of that was, the intent of the swastika was not to promote Christ, right? And so I have Will's personal opinion. I view everything that way. What was the origin of what I'm checking out? So the place, and really, if I'm being completely honest, and I appreciate my brother online that's paying attention to this, what I had originally isn't where I'm going to start, because this is a hard study. When you try to study the true origins of Freemasonry, it's a secret society for a reason. When you try to study the origins of some of the frats and soros, they are secret societies for a reason. Those rituals, those oaths, those practices weren't meant for everybody. So I want to appreciate him and helping me get, say thank you for helping me get towards some of the information. So the first place I'm going to start is with Canaan, right? So when you go into the Word and you look at Canaan, if you don't know the story, Canaan was the son of Noah. I'm sorry, the grandson of Noah. Ham was his dad, and Ham saw Noah drunk. Noah was passed out drunk, and what Ham did is he didn't cover up his dad like he was supposed to according to the social time. He went and told his brothers about it after he saw his pops naked. So now that he presented this embarrassing moment, what Noah did was he cursed Canaan, Ham's son. Now, when he cursed him, he told him, you will be the servant of servants, which is why in some circles they try to associate African Americans with Ham and say, hey, you're a descendant of Ham. You were already cursed back in that time to be a servant of a servant. But that's not true, right? Like, that's just somebody in there trying to get some free work, right? But they'll promote themselves as if they worked hard. And so what happened is Canaan, when he gets cursed by Noah, it also curses his lineage, which we see as the Canaanites. Now, the Canaanites were known as one of the most evil groups of people throughout time. And the Canaanites were very specific about worshiping Baal. And Baal was prominent in the Canaanite as well as the Phoenician mythology. So what they did is they worshiped Baal. This is going somewhere. Some of the rituals associated with worshiping Baal were sexual orgies, eating people. That's where you get the word cannibal, Canaanite, and you got Baal, so you got cannibal. You also had the burning of people and, you know, the encapturing of children. So very specifically with the Canaanites, God had them to be destroyed because the way that they placed Baal was in direct opposition of Yahweh, our Father, being God. So because they held Baal in direct opposition to God at that time, God was like, no, y'all got to go. Y'all have to be burned. God has a history of this in the Old Testament. You stand directly against him, you got to go. So all the Canaanites were to be killed. Now, all right, I'm going to say this because the Spirit said I could say it. If you pay attention to where we are right now in history, some of the things that God said the Canaanites would do if they were not killed, we actually see happening today. So I would pay close attention to those kind of things because a lot of those practices, they will take your children, they will hoard the wealth, all those different things we actually see being practiced today. So I'll stop myself right there before I say something. I don't want to throw it out there, but y'all can figure it out. So now you got these people worshiping Baal. And what's happening is their mythology is being carried from land to land. As their mythology is being carried from land to land, the thing we got to start asking ourselves is some of the rituals and oaths that we started seeing in these fraternities and sororities, how do they relate back to where that came from? Because a lot of the origination of the fraternities and sororities are believed with Freemasonry sprouting out of the Canaanites have the same pathway. So that's why we kind of bring that up. So I'm gonna stop for a second. Because I'm talking. Any questions about that? Because here's what I'm going to tell you what I see from here, right? And if you're not standing at this viewpoint, it's hard to see. I see a lot of this. I see a lot of squinched foreheads. And so, right, anything that comes out in our face is a spiritual reaction, right? We're spirits. So the things that operate in our spirit reflect in our physical. So if there's a question, please feel free to ask the question or to make the comment or anything like that. No offense taken. I promise my job is to teach. I know, and Pastor says that as well. My job is to do the research and then give it to the people. So any questions or thoughts on that so far? Go for it, Keith. Keith, catch. No, I'm just joking. Don't do that.
I'm just kind of making a comment. It's kind of interesting that you brought up the Canaanites and kind of that lineage because literally like last week I was having a conversation with my cousin and he's been really, really more so into the Bible a lot. And he was talking about how just the overall, like the descendants of Israel, like who are the real like Israelites and looking into that. And we're kind of having conversations about it. And he's held the belief that, you know, the things that are happening basically throughout history have to do with basically the descendants of Israel, essentially all the kind of the different trials and stuff that people have gone through, you know, dating even back to like slavery. He was talking about scriptures in the Bible, like how basically it said that they were, you know, the ships that went into Egypt, you know, things of that nature. So I just find it very interesting, you know, that, you know, this is being brought up, you know, as far as like within just kind of lineage. I think that is definitely important to kind of look that, you know, really into that, into the Bible, and look into that information and see where things do come from. Because I do believe in generational curses and things of that nature, because the Bible explicitly says that, but also trying to essentially get more information about where those curses started, you know, and also if they can be applied to today. I think that's where kind of more so what my questions will be more so as far as when looking into that. So,
no, amen. I appreciate you saying that, Keith, because it is one of those things that we kind of take for granted, right? We are physical bodies operating in a spiritual world. And we too often, because of our bias or what we see on a day-to-day basis, we don't acknowledge the spiritual side of the world a lot. There's a response to all of this stuff, right? You know, when you get angry, like what I said before, like when we get angry, our faces change. When we get sad, our temperament changes. Well, that's all emotions, right? And emotions are spiritual. So when we start going through all of these things now, the Greek symbolism was interesting to me to look into, because I always kind of wondered, why did God give me a spiritual reaction to being around it? Like, I've never liked it. And again, I'm from New Orleans, right? So in New Orleans, you kind of get a little more attuned to spiritual things. You get accustomed to seeing it. Like, one of my boys that I grew up with, who was one of my best friends, he's posting right now. He's one of the Indian dancers inside New Orleans who dances on the streets. But he doesn't even know the Indian rituals he's dancing to. But he knows the dances to a T and will zone out and phase out those kind of things. Mardi Gras, right? I remember the first time my wife and I had the conversation that, yo, kids can't go to Mardi Gras. And they're like, what? Why the kids can't go? You know, my whole family. Why they can't go to Mardi Gras? Let's make sure we put this all together. So we're going to have a whole day. It's a week in New Orleans, but we'll just keep it to Fat Tuesday. We're going to have a whole day where we celebrate Greek mythology and Greek quote-unquote deities. And while they're on these big, massive floats, we're going to stand from the ground and raise our hands to ask for something. And then sometimes we're going to do lewd acts to get them to give us the coconut or the extra stuff that you get thrown off the boat. And then we're going to drink while we do it. We're going to celebrate. We're going to party. And then as the sun goes down, and I used to participate every year until I was 17. So I'm not being a hypocrite about it or anything like that. Like, I was there every year. When I was able to get out there by myself, game over. I used to stand on Canal Street waiting for the sun to go down like a vampire. Can't wait. And I'd be right on Bourbon Street. So I'm not trying to be a hypocrite when I say it. I was there. But then when the dark turns over, it turns into a whole different scene of, call it how it is, sexual orgies, a whole bunch of lewdness, anything you could think of, you could do it out there. And all the cops would do is, don't hurt nobody. There were no rules. There were no rules for drinking on the street. There were no rules for underage drinking. There were no rules for anything you could think of, right? So when we participate in these things, we don't realize it's all ritualistic, right? And I'll say this last part and then kind of jump a little further. I had a big conversation with a brother at the barbershop about that movie Sinners, right? And I had made the comment, if I knew what Sinners was about before I went to see it, I wouldn't have went to see it. But bad on Will, I was just thinking about a date night. We went out, saw the movie, you know what I'm saying? And like a third into the movie, I was like, dog it. I was like, I'm either about to ruin this date night or I just need to go ahead and pray for the next hour and a half. Because I can now see the symbolisms, the rituals, the voodoo practice. They had witches come and pray over their set before they shot the movie because they wanted to be that much into the thing. Now that I know the religion of the producer, because I know what they worship their ancestry. There's a famous scene in the movie that literally is centered around the foundation of their worship. And it happened. And at the time I was looking at it, I was like, oh man, look at that. That's tight. And then I go back and read and I was like, oh my gosh, that's why this is happening today. And if somebody asks in the church, that's why we should have the conversations. To hear the conversation of Baal, yeah, that's different, right? But we don't study spirit a lot. To hear the conversation about the oaths and the rituals, when Pastor made that comment that he was like, yo, I'm going to cut my throat and rip out my tongue, I said, no, sir. Ain't nobody going to ask me to do that. I'm not eating no bananas out of the toilet. I'm not You ain't pushing me off no ladder because it all has a spiritual context behind it. Go ahead, Brother Calvin.
I did a little research myself as well, and I came up with some compelling evidence. And I'll just give this to you, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this to you, and then you can just look at this, and because I don't think we have time to talk about it, but I've got some references that would say on the contrary that, you know, that a lot of this is speculated that it came from the Canaanites and whatever, but there's a lot of references that I've seen shows that Freemasonry rose from different that came much later than from those that biblical reference, although they do have similarities. That a lot of this was parallel, not really evidence, but more likely conjecture. But what I have here, I'm going to send this to you, and I've got like maybe 10 references that would say that have other outcomes of where the fraternal order began, as well as Masonic order and everything else as well.
Amen. Amen. No, and I appreciate that, Brother Calvin. I think we should do that. Like, I think, you know, to help us, because what Brother Calvin just did is something that I think we all should do. Like, okay, let's go get the references. Let's take it to the word. Let's walk away with the right. You know, we talk about this in Lit a lot. Disagreements aren't bad. Like, if we disagree, or that's fine. But let's make sure that we hit the right target to make sure that we're doing right. So I'd love to, and I know Brother Calvin Wilson, that anybody else too, if you hear this and you like, I don't know if I'm vibing with that, let's do the research together. Let's sit down. Let's go through it. I'm more than willing to do that. I'm kind of a nerd about that kind of stuff. So let's sit down and do that. So I'm going to jump to Psalms chapter 119, verses 1 through 8. And I think it's important for us to understand. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." And I think, go for it, B. That was Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. No problem. And my bad, I apologize, because some people are using their Bibles, the book, and I'm using a digital copy. So, yeah, Psalms 119, 1 through 8. And I think what's important for us to pick up on there, again, we're hitting at the oaths and the ritual concept. Not telling you whether your oath or ritual was wrong. The word says that we will have those, that those are here, but I'm also going to read a verse that speaks to those specifically to keep our oaths and rituals to the Lord. So when you dance the Greek dance, what are you dancing? That's what I would ask. When you take the oath, what are you pledging to? Because when you wear the symbols, where are you wearing the symbol of? I just found out. I just learned this a couple months ago, so I'm still back and forth. I'm asking for a revelation from God on it. The fleur-de-lis that we wear for the Saints. I'm a big Saints fan, me and Fabe. That marker was used as a symbol for Southern slaves. They branded Southern slaves with that to know where they're supposed to send them and what plantations to. So now I'm asking, I'm like, okay, God, should I be rocking that on my forehead? I got the hat on, you know what I'm saying? I got it on my shirt. Maybe I should just get the same shirt that say Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things. That's what this conversation is. We got to ask ourselves these questions. If we're going to give our money to it, sacrifice. If we're going to give our time to it, sacrifice. If we're going to give our praise to it, wearing the symbolisms, the dances. If we're going to do all of those things, do they align with Yahweh, God, our Father, who we serve? Or do they align with whatever God they serve or they originally serve? Again, a swastika is a cross too, but it ain't a cross that represents Christ. So we need to be careful about what we dedicate ourselves to. Like me and my wife were talking about this earlier today, and I was asking, how many oaths have I actually taken in my life? And I had to start thinking about that thing. Military, my wife, ministry, I think that's about it. Because I don't, again, my personality is not geared towards groups. I don't want to be with a bunch of people unless it's like us as believers now. But when I was younger, I still didn't want to be with a bunch of people. Like, I was just like, yo, I'm good. And so I think we as believers need to make sure we think about that as we're doing this.
Hey Will.
Go ahead, fam.
So I wanted to talk on that. I don't know which direction I want to go with this, but I think we kind of get it. I think the way I kind of look at it is kind of like the purpose behind it. Like, you know, you mentioned the New Orleans Saints and whatnot, and you mentioned the logo that they have. I don't know. I guess in my own brain, I'm like, whenever the New Orleans Saints was created, in my own opinion, I don't think they're thinking about, okay, this we're going to make this about, you know, how they got branded in slavery. I think they're just trying to make a football team. And that's the logo they chose, you know. Now, as far as into, I guess, the actual conversation about, you know, sororities, fraternities, and with the Lady of Christ and whatnot, I guess in hindsight, you know, relaying that to is that, you know, I know for Alpha, you know, pretty sure the rest are pretty much have the same story. What it comes down to that they back in the day, you know, they, you know, the opportunity was given for African Americans, so they started their own thing, and that's the thing they chose. And like you mentioned, I think Phi Beta Kappa, I think that's what Pastor said, that was the first one. And it looked like, for me reading my own history, they said, okay, let's start our own thing. And they, I don't know how they came up, they just came with those Greek letters. I don't know, they probably mashed it off what Phi Beta Kappa had back in the day. And so when I'm thinking all the way back to the early 1900s, you know, I guess as far as 1900s, the early 1900s, I'm not, in my own head, I'm not thinking that, based on me reading it, you know, I don't think they were thinking about, hey, we're going to make this a demonic activity. They're not going to make this into something that we're going to try to put people down. Now, do I think some edits need to be made with the hazing and initiation process? I do agree with that. But as far as the purpose and foundation of it, in my own opinion, I think I'm kind of debating into, you know, I get the line back all the way back in the yay times and whatnot, but if I'm looking at, okay, this is the purpose, the intentionality behind it, you could say, you know, then that kind of, I'm like, kind of makes me go back and forth. I'm like, okay, the intentionality behind it is to do this, then I don't really see a problem with it, you know, moving forward. So that's kind of where I'm kind of, you know, I know you could going down the path one, but I think what I just said kind of is going to spark some people up in here for my own self, honestly. Yeah. But so I just wanted to kind of express myself and maybe go down the line from there.
No, I appreciate you saying it, Finn, because I think you're saying what most people say, and I'm coming straight to you, Keith. Like, you're saying what most people are probably thinking, right? Like, the origin, why I went into it was not based on this, right? Like, all that stuff you talking about, like, I'm talking about me, all that stuff you talking about the demonic and Baal and the Canaanites, that don't mean nothing, like, not that it don't mean nothing, but it's like, when I went into it, that's not what was presented, that's not what we were doing. But I also would ask the same question about Easter, right? Like, a lot of people go to church on Easter, but how you think God feels about that when Easter ain't got nothing to do with resurrection? And so it's about the origin of the concept. Like, that's why we call things Resurrection Sunday, right? Like, even with marriage, right? We go back to, like, the original vows, why people get married, when you get married, and that's why it's to spark a spiritual kind of uprising to say, okay, God, please give me the revelation on if all that is still it and or not, right? Like, Pastor Ad kind of asked me, he was like, hey, now one of your boys want to do, like, Boy Scouts or something like that. You going to let them throw up the three fingers? I was like, no, because I don't want them to take an oath to that. You know what I'm saying? Now, one of my boys is old enough. He's a young adult, so he can make his own decisions. But I'm going to teach him the concept and the origins, and he can make his own decisions from there. And I think that's how we look at it here, right? It's not that if somebody come in here with an AKA shirt on Sunday, it's going to be like, oh, look at her. You know what I'm saying? It's not meant to chastise. It's just meant to put the information out front in hope of spiritual revelation from what study and reading we do with it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I don't have, like pastors say, a dog in the hunt when it comes to these kind of things because they're just not my thing. But now that I study it, well, personally, I know even more now it's not my thing because the more I read about it, the more I realize, man, now don't get me wrong. And in church, we have rituals. We have oaths. We have all these different things in church, too. We all take communion on first Sunday. We all go through baptism. Those are rituals. Those are things that we do. So oaths and rituals in itself isn't bad. I'm just more interested in what is the origin of why we do these things. And if those origins don't line up, then I want to make a change from there, right? But I do agree with you, Finn. Anybody else, any thoughts on that? Like, you know, in Lib, we'd be trying to spark conversation. So it's cool. Like, anybody else got any thoughts on that? Because I think what Finn said is what everybody feels. But again, I always go back to the origin of why I'm doing something. Like, where did that start, man? Because if you, like, who was it? Tommy Hilfiger. When he came out, he was like, if I knew that many black people was going to wear my clothes, I wouldn't have made them. Say less. You know what I'm saying? Get whoever you want to wear your clothes. If I knew you was going to say that about black people, I wouldn't have wore it. So, but that was his original intent, was for us not to be wearing it like that. No problem. I'll go to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And so, any other thoughts on that before we press? Go ahead, Marquise.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, kind of more so of a question. Like, do you believe that as groups, like, there's a case where as groups are started, the attention can be good, but as things move on with the world, things get more corrupted just because, you know, they're not God-centered, right? So if they're not having to do anything with God or Jesus Christ, things could get more corrupted as time moves on. Just even like the whole, I would just say example, right? The institution of marriage, right? Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be started off as it's more of a spiritual and God, you know, that's what God ordained. Man and woman become married. Mm-hmm. But then when it got taken over by the government in the States, then they made it out to be whatever they wanted it to be.
Right.
And so that changed it, right, over time. But this wasn't, you know, it took years for that to happen, but it still happened. So over time, the thing that was supposed to be ordained between man and woman that God ordained back when Adam and Eve, it's now, you know, what it is today. So what are kind of your thoughts on that, like as far as like with, you know, not only just institutions, but just like groups, if they aren't, you know, centered within God, you know, how they can, you know, over time, do you believe that they can get more corrupted, you know, over time?
Absolutely. I mean, I always go back to this. Brother L said this to me years ago, and I've never forgot it. We're all going to do what we're all going to do. And, like, I do believe that, you know, as men and people, I mean, like, I'll take the institution of marriage, for instance, right? Like, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create one above the other. He created man, the species, and then two, a man and a woman to elevate and glorify him. The man had a role in the home. The woman had a role in the home or in his kingdom and what we were supposed to do. So I do believe that people can get in there and corrupt, right? And then we start introducing our ideologies into whatever situation we're in. I believe there's a whole bunch of groups like that, man, where we're out here, you know, and as you say, since I was talking about the Boy Scouts, do I believe the Boy Scouts was created to have the issues that they had over the year? Absolutely not. Did somebody introduce their ideology and their issues into it? Absolutely. Or even when you look at the government, right? You know, that's why I don't get too upset about what I see with the government no more, because God never intended for there to be a government, right? Like, go back to the children of Israel. It was a theocracy. He told, you do. But then we instituted the government. God told them, just like he told the world what was going to happen if you didn't get rid of the Canaanites, you start introducing man's ideology into good things, you're going to get a corrupt process sometimes, because it's not God-centered, right? And so, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I absolutely believe that. And they could have, like, I mean, every frat and soror might not be based off of the worship of Baal from back then, right? But I would challenge anybody to go start looking, because the number of people, and I don't even know why, again, I have no association with them. The number of people that have come to me to tell me, hey, I walked away from this, and in my mind, I always think first, why did you tell me that? Because I don't have any association, and then they'll go into why they did it, whether it's Freemasonry or whether it's a sorority or fraternity. I've had it happen multiple times, and my uncle is like one of the top omegas in the country. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's no love lost. That is my man. I love my uncle. You know what I'm saying? But we just don't agree on that. If I had a guess, he's probably one of the biggest Masons in the country. You know, I still love him. I ain't going to judge him. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he got to make his own choices. And I think me and him are going to wind up having this conversation eventually as well. Amen. But thank you for that, Marquise. Go ahead, V.
I just want to piggyback on what Brother Maurice was talking about as far as an institutional marriage. That's something that God did ordain. And as far as the church itself, anything that God created was good. But when you have man involved, I mean, that can corrupt anything. Even in the church, I mean, that's why we have denominations. That's why we have all this man-made things that we throw into the church that sometimes just turn people off or what have you. But what we have to do is to be God-centered, like you say, to focus on Christ, focus on God, focus on the Word, because the corruption, when man gets involved, can come, depending on, doesn't matter whether it is something church-centered, God-centered, or an organization which people come together to do good things. And these particular organizations have different origins, as you would say. However, over time, they may have evolved to be something different from what they started out to be. And so, but like you say, you do need to know how things got started. You do need to know all the information so that you can make an informed decision. And based on what that organization is doing now and what you're getting out of it, that's how you make your decision.
Can I say a couple things right there? Kevin, that's a good point you make. And I have some things and notes that I kind of made in reference to that. Because, again, everybody got to do what's best for them and how they see things, because we won't all see the same way on what is being said here tonight. But I do think it's a good thing to align whatever it is you're doing against God's word. You know, the word is supposed to be a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. So therefore, I need to make sure that whatever I'm doing, if I'm a Christian, if I'm not a Christian, don't matter. But if I'm a Christian, what I do, what I take, what I say, got to be aligned against the word. Does it contradict God's word in any way? Loyalty and identity. I know when I became a Mason, that loyalty and identity was big. And again, I can see why we didn't talk about Jesus, because that was in direct competition with Jesus. I mean, when I came through, the first thing they told me I need to do, I mean, I want to identify, I want to be loyal to whatever they said. I went out and bought every sign symbol that would represent what I was in. I put a tag on my car. I got stuff on my refrigerator. I got the little balls in the canes. I got every symbol that they do. Because I wanted people to know that I was committed to that. Now, but when I got saved, I didn't do the same thing for Jesus. I didn't put no symbols on nothing. I didn't put myself wearing crosses all over. But when I went in that organization, they locked me in such a way that I wanted everybody to know that I was loyal to that organization. And I gave my all. I mean, like I said, I gave my all. So I wasn't half-stepping when I was in there. And if I hadn't got a revelation, I was on my way somewhere because I thought that's what God wanted me to be, doing the good things that I saw them doing. And then hearing about all the political side of it, what it takes to be a 33rd, what you got to do, you got to do this. I started understanding. You know, I'll be a 33rd, you got to do this, you got to hang with these folks, you got to pay this amount of money. So it ain't about how smart I am. Now, I thought it was how much I know about the organization, but now to get up there, it ain't about what you know, buddy, it's who you know, and you buy your way to the top. Okay. Yeah. Now, I didn't say that was everywhere. I know in Mississippi, where we were stationed at. That's what I do. You got to pay your way there. You ain't going to just get to the 33rd because we like you. But you can get there, and here's what you're going to have to do. Well, I'm glad I got out before then because I wasn't going to spend that kind of money to get there. I mean, I just was. So I think you got to kind of see where does your loyalty at. And I see some people, you know, when you come in, man, I mean, I see y'all wearing your colors. Gangs wear colors. And they loyal to their color. But you can't be so loyal to your color that you feel like you whatever if you ain't got your color. The color just color. Whether it's black, gold, red, pink, whatever. It's just a. So when I see people like that, they're going that far, then I'm thinking, okay, the ritual and the theme, the symbolism could ease Jesus into second place. He could become an afterthought when it comes to what he would have me to do versus what my lodge want me to do. And that's where everybody got to make their own decision out there. Another thing I think is important, influence on your spiritual growth. Or you being challenged to grow spiritually in the organization. Or is it that we don't have a spiritual concept when it comes to spiritual growth God way? I don't know, after you get in, is there certain things you have to keep doing to stay proficient? I don't know. In the lodge, we just had meetings all the time, and we had to open up the lodge a certain way and go in a certain direction. We had the ritual down. But after that, we didn't go through our oaths that often, that much more. We didn't go through no deep study like we were doing to get in. It became an order of business. What we got to do, what we going to do, who done paid their dues, who ain't paid their dues, and if we're going to do anything nice for the community. And then after that, let's go club. Now, that was just me in the lodge. I don't know what everybody else doing. I'm just telling my story. And so for some people, that was it. But for me, as I started learning more about Jesus, then I saw it was hindering my spiritual growth. Because I couldn't learn all I needed to know about Jesus and continue to do what I was doing there. So for me, that was a check mark for me. Mission and purpose. I liked the mission and purpose. Serving people, helping in the community, that was no conflict there. I mean, come Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, our lodge was all about it, man. Just like the church here is doing things, we did stuff like that in that community over in Biloxi. So I liked that part of it. So that was no, when it comes to that part of it, we was all together. Fruit of the Spirit or works of the flesh? That's a tough one right there. What is growing when you're in those organizations? Are you producing the fruit of the Spirit or are you producing more works of the flesh? For me, it was works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. We took an oath that said I would not violate the chastity of another brother's wife, daughter, or da-da-da-da-da. And I knew brothers who were sleeping with each other's wives. So that, the man, the human side of it that didn't help us to grow spiritually, wouldn't stop that even though we took a vow that we wouldn't do that. So you got to look at it. Are these works satisfying my flesh or are they satisfying the spirit? Does being in an organization hinder your witness or your example? In other words, does it tarnish your witness if you're trying to minister to somebody? Not, then keep pressing on. And so the last thing I just want you to do, just God and the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a guide. Let him help you. And I'm not trying to tell anybody to get out of nothing because I know some of y'all locked. This is not a conversation trying to talk you out of what you're doing. I'm just trying to make sure that what you're doing is not a rival to Jesus. That's all. As long as they're not, and you satisfied with what you're doing, you're happy with what you're doing, but I will challenge you, go back and read your oath and the vows and stuff you done took and understand what it means and go do the research and where it come from. And if you're satisfied with that, hey, man, press on, keep doing what you're doing, pay your dues, keep on pressing. Ain't no problem. Sister V?
Hello? Okay. I have something to say. I guess I'm not in a fraternity, and I do, it all depends on if a person is have God with them. It's some people that's in fraternities that I know that they didn't minister to their sister and their brothers. And I didn't know when you said that you saw some people that y'all took an oath of not sleeping with the wife or whatever, it's people in the church that does it, that didn't sleep with their stuff. So it all depends. It's churches that haven't even gave back to their the kids in college, and I done seen fraternities that raised a lot of money, then gave money to the kids. It just all depends, and did more community service than churches have done. For they come in and they dress up and they leave. So I think I'm kind of biased when it comes to this. It just all depends on if you're walking with God. If you're walking with God, then yes, you do have a, they have the oath, but what are they doing in that fraternity? Are they ministering in that maternity? And I know some of them sit up here and they say they have boundaries and they like, I am going to be at church every Sunday. I am going to be at Bible study every Wednesday. They do have boundaries. It just all depends. You can't lump everybody in a category.
Absolutely. And all I can do is talk from my experience for me, you know, and what I saw and what happened in the group that I was in. And I knew for me it was a conflict. Yeah. Mason, the Eastern Star, yeah. And again, you mentioned Eastern Stars, and I was just telling people to go back and look at the symbol for that and see how it represents this. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see a hand.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Can two masters share your allegiance? That is an amazing topic. It's a right now topic. It's going to always be a topic that we need to constantly review and talk with ourselves and just check your heart. I know that our brother is he's a researcher. He definitely researches all those things, and so I really appreciate how you pulled out of that the things that happened with all of that with Canaan and with Noah and all those different things like that. And then when we went into these other tribes and we started living and marrying all within us, it brought things out and it started bringing it in more homes and that home and that home. And that is still existing to this day. Yet, when we have this conversation, we should understand that we're not talking about a set of organizations. We're talking about all of it. Because everything that has been related that we've talked about, any organization, any family, any neighborhood, any church, anybody, these things have bled in because we were warned not to do it. And we have been, and man for hundreds of years has been disobedient to this. So therefore, when you have a person that takes takes an interest in an organization, we know the brother, we know the sister, but we don't know her origin. We don't know his origin. So therefore, those things do get into your organizations, and they manifest for whatever reason. And so therefore, when you share, and I'm a Delta. I'm a lifetime Delta. Yeah, Pastor, I'm paid it all. Okay, I've done all of that. Okay, I don't just. I've been the president of this organization here locally, and now I'm on the regional leadership team for the biggest 9 states of the United States. Okay, all of that. I do all of that. But when I was asked the question, why put Delta in order of what it means to you, it was God, family, work, Delta. And for 32 years, I mean, for, oh, for 29 years, yeah, 29 years. How old are you, Avery? Oh, Yeah. I'm coming up on 30 years. That's been my moderation. And Pastor, you're right. There have been times in that time I've had to always check myself on what is going to be more important than me. But when we talk about this, we have to make sure that we understand that everybody got their gear ready for SEC. And there's people that ain't going to go to weddings, they ain't going to go to church, they ain't going to do nothing because SEC is about to begin. Yeah. But it's an organization. And you really don't care that Lawrence Taylor did those things that he did to those girls as long as he was winning for you. So when I say, can you serve two masters? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, young people. I don't know the origin of the conversation upstairs, but absolutely not. God must be first, and God will lead you to where you want to be. The African-American Divine Nine, we were created because there was a need for our community. Nobody was letting us in and to do things. And the Deltas, 22 young girls in college, sophomores and juniors, got in the suffrage march, and they told them to go to the back. And they said, no, we're going to walk to the front. And brought awareness to women's suffrage when we didn't get the right to vote for a long time. And all of those things can go good and positive, and there's always going to be somebody that comes in, and there's always a cousin or a good friend that can bring something to the table, and we don't know if that's the direction that we want to go in. I just get scared. I'm apprehensive right now because everybody's trying to turn everybody against everybody. They're messing with our churches. Yeah, our churches are messed up. Guess what? That's who's supposed to come to church. You're messed up to come to church, to try to get yourself right, okay? And then when we sit here and we turn against organizations that there's good brothers and sisters that are doing good things, you don't have to go with them when they go do the bad thing. You don't have to stand on the wall and watch the door. That's part of all of that has happened, and we as Christians are being held accountable, just like an organization is being. I mean, that member of that organization is being held accountable. So we can't just put it on the Masons or the sororities and fraternities. No, we cannot share an alliance. God is first, and when God is first, He cleanses you from your past. Now, you remember the woman, Rahab? She's in the bloodline of Jesus. And what does she do for a living? Okay? So all of it goes to the good. But each individual has to account for themselves. And we're going to have to get before God and say, hey, what did I do? Did I put you first or not? But I want us to be careful about targeting certain groups. Because these groups, like right now, I'm not leaving because I'm done. I'm leaving because we're getting on a call because we're talking about what's going on in Texas and how the Deltas are, our international president is from Texas. We're going to figure out how we're going to take a stand, and we're going to help those politicians stay out of Texas so that until we get an answer about all that gerrymandering with the voting districts. That's what we do. And that's what a lot of, and we're not there by ourselves. Every fraternal organization that we're talking about is talking about Texas and how we're going to help Texas.
Can I jump in with you real quick?
You can jump in because I'm done.
I want to read this. I'm going to read this real quick to you, sis, because I don't want to cut you off, but I want you to hear this before you go. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is his city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yeah, yeah, nay, nay. For whatever so is more than these cometh of evil. So the only reason I throw that out, and I was reading fast, so if it sounds like I'm coming off aggressive, it's not that. I'm just trying to read it fast. I got 1% on my phone. So though I want to read real quick into your hearing the definition of a ritual, the definition of an oath, and then I want to respond real quick to what you said, V, and to what you said, Sister E, and I'm going to say this quickly. So ritual is defined as a religious or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order. That goes against Matthew 5, 33 through 37. An oath is a solemn promise often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. That one also goes against Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And the big thing about that is, what did it say at the end, if my phone doesn't die on me? It says, for whatsoever is more than these cometh from evil. So our oaths, regardless, should be to the Lord. When any minister in here took an oath to serve the Lord, like, that's to the Lord. But the other oaths that we take, we have to be so careful about. Again, and Sister V, to what you said, I love what you said, because it's like what Sister E said, but I would also say this. Don't measure what you see. Don't measure something against what you see from something as opposed to the standard of something. The standard that God set should be what the people are doing. But what you see people doing can be in opposition to the other side of what you see. And that's, we can't ever measure what man is doing against what God intended for us to do. Because if we were doing exactly what God intended for us to do, all the things that the sorors and frats are doing, we already have that. Like, there would be no gerrymandering situation in Texas if the Christian, the followers of the way, actually came together and did it like we were supposed to, because there'd be no economic balance for them to go against. There'd be no way to divide, to put the politics. Because, like Sister E said, that's the enemy's main tool is division. That's, so I gotta have a red, I gotta have a blue, I gotta have a frat, I gotta have a sorrow, I gotta have homosexuality. I gotta have denominations. I gotta have all these things. Because if I don't invite division into you, and God is the representation of oneness within himself, there's no way that the enemy can deal with us, right? But so I'm gonna just keep dividing you. Black, brown. It amazed me one time that the Wents came to me and said, hey, we don't even acknowledge race in Jamaica. And I said, what? It was like, yeah, we don't acknowledge race. So I went back and start, and God had me go back and start looking that up, to Bacon's Rebellion. Race did not get introduced into America until Bacon's Rebellion, when the brown slaves and the white slaves came together and went against Jamestown. And when old boy got scared, they said, no, now we're going to introduce, hey, if you're this color, you on our side. Yeah, and it was to divide, just like Brother Calvin said. And so, and on the other side, and then I'm going to turn it over because I saw hands go up. Sister E, I would say this to you. When it says, can two masters share your allegiance? We got to be careful, because the reason I introduced the information is because if a soror or frat is based on a specific master, then we've already invited that master into the fold. No matter what we're doing, if the origin of it was based on the worship of Baal, or if you want to say you want to worship, pick a false deity, right? If your organization was founded on that, then you are inviting that into your situation. That's why Pastor walked away from the Freemasons, because everybody was allowed in. Oh, this ain't just a Jesus as my Lord and Savior thing. Everybody allowed up in here. So you can't have that, because that's having two masters. Like, there's something that would, now, is it for the Deltas? I don't know. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you start researching that Divine Nine, everybody, history is long. 2 weeks was not enough for me to read all that. I'm going to just go ahead and be honest. It was not enough. But when I started, when I was introduced to the origins, it changed the whole concept. And so That's why I say that, because if that any organization was founded on a worship to some false deity, then we got to ask ourselves, can we do these things outside of that? I'm not saying Deltas was, I'm not saying Omegas was, I'm not saying the Alphas or the Kappas or anybody was, but if it was, when you start doing that research for your individual organization, then you really got to ask yourself, okay, what was the origin founded on? And the origin, to your point, Finn, it can't just go back to where the person who founded it when African Americans weren't allowed inside these organizations. It got to go back to what is the origin and foundation of sororities and fraternities, period, because that's where it starts. All the rest of that stuff is off branches. We're branches. Christ is divine, right? Like, when we dig back, we dig to him. We don't dig to some time where another vine was on the branch. You know what I'm saying? You got to get to the branch and get into the meat of that. Where did that come from? So I saw a lot of people's hands go. Sis, I know you've been holding for a second. Brother Wayne, I seen you itching when your knees start shaking. I know that means something. And Sister AD, I see you as well.
I'm voice trembling, but I just feel like this is gonna hit hard. But a lot of Christians pick and choose, and that's how I feel, because you can't pick and choose the origin and be like, oh, well, I'm Christian and I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But the origin, like you said, like, is the complete opposite of what the Bible says and what Jesus says. But a lot of Christians choose to pick and choose and be like, oh, well, I believe in Jesus, and I believe I'm a Christian. Ooh, my voice trembling because I know it's going to offend some people, but it's like, that's how I feel. And a lot of other religions, they don't do that. Like, they're like, nah, I'm whatever, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, I'm not doing that because it doesn't believe in their God. But a lot of Christians seem to just pick and choose and just pick and choose. Yeah, selective.
Wayne, go get the mic.
Well, I like what you said too. And my thing is this, not to bash or put anybody down, but just because you see a lot of good people doing good, that don't mean that the whole network or organization is good. I'm gonna be real quick. I've growing up in the islands, watching Carnival. You know, we used to like watching Carnival. My parents didn't really want us to go around Carnival, but we used to sneak and go to Carnival and stuff like that. But as I got older, growing up, and I noticed that the women wear all that little stuff and this and that. Didn't even know that they were preparing themselves to be sacrificed. You see what I'm saying? A lot of them still do it up to this day and don't even know that. When they put on those little things, they were preparing their body to be sacrificed, right? Now, another thing also, I also felt, you know, certain things, you know, my spirit didn't feel good, as in, say, for instance, that I know Major is a good guy, you know? And just because Major might not be standing on the square with me or he's not in an organization, that means I might have some good information that might be beneficial to Major or could help him out in life, but just because he's not a brother, I can't share it with him. I didn't agree with certain things like that. You see what I'm saying? So just because you see certain things doing good, that don't mean that the whole stuff is good. I like what you say. Go deeper and search into the origin, where the thing started and how it started and what certain things represent, you know? I know we touched some stuff tonight, but I think the stuff we touch on is just surface stuff, because this stuff is go way deeper than we touching right now, and it's more spiritual to it. So I'm going to just leave it like that.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. That's where I was going. The origin, how, and I know what Kobe's trying to say. Like Christians, we kind of flip-flop. Like a Muslim decides, this is what I'm doing, and I'm not doing anything that goes against this thing that I believe in. But Christians, we have so many, we leave so many open ends. You know, like, if you're for me or you against me, You can't serve two masters. And the one thing I really wanted to point out was that it seems like we're putting an order. We're going like God, Baal. No. There's one God. Like, there's not like, you don't get to serve God and Baal, or if you find out the origin leads to something else, and the way that it originated was because of, it was idolatry, and you find out that what that means and what that meant, what this oath means, if I find out that this oath goes against the oath that I made to God, if this ritual doesn't line up with the things that are in the Word of God, then something got to go. And that's the reality. And I know, I mean, that might be cutting a little deep because it is deep. Do I believe that organizations have evolved over the years? Is it possible? Yes. Yes, something could have started good and turned bad, and just the opposite. Something could have started bad and turned good, and you get to see the good works. But it doesn't mean that you ignore the origin. You don't get to ignore the meaning of the ritual, the meaning of the oath that you take, because it means something. You don't just take an oath. When you take an oath, it means something. And when you get to the meaning, I'm telling you, when you start looking up some of the meanings to some of these things, you would be like, I wouldn't have taken that oath if I really knew the depth of what that meant. And then if you, because some people took an oath before they got into a relationship with God. You didn't know what you know now. And that is why when people draw closer to God, or when you start digging into your Word and you find out what these things mean, there can be a conflict. And for some people, and that's why I say I like how this is a discussion where it's not to tear anything down or to further divide, but it is a conversation that I pray that causes you to explore, what did I sign up to do? What did I sign up for? What oath am I making? What ritual am I practicing? And do those things line up with the Word of God? And I think we have to do that in our life, not just as it pertains to sororities and fraternities, but we have to do that in every aspect of our lives and decisions that we make and the things that we put our kids in. It's a life. This is a lifestyle thing. And anything that goes against God and His Word and what He stands for is wrong, period.
Yeah, sure.
So, super. Okay, I'm sorry, Sharon.
So I got one thing. So I know, Pastor, when you were talking about how they kind of let everybody in the Masons, it kind of makes me think about the military. So from the origins of the military, majority of people probably Christians or Catholics, but as the military began to evolve, you have people that are atheists, agnostic, Buddhist, Hindu, all kind of different religions. So it's kind of like, hey, I this is no knock to you if you want to leave the Masons, that's up to your own free will. But it's just it's kind of like as we evolve, it's like, okay, hey, there may be people that don't practice the same religion that I do. Now, is that something that if I research their religion, that's up to me, because I'm like, hey, you know what? I just want to understand you more as a person, but it's not gonna make me switch religions. But it's not gonna be like. Because as in the military, there have been people that have gotten hurt in the military, some people unfortunately killed in the military. So I know when people join the military, oh, I want to do all these good things, but then there are the few bad apples in the military that's like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want such and such to get hurt. I didn't think this was going to happen. But now I think that's when we start talking about, like, being divided and everything. So, like, for example, because I'm an alpha, and if I'm making a joke with Jesse about him being a sigma, It's nothing to cause a division. It's just like, okay, hey, you know, this is just us banter. But I know at the end of the day, we're both black men. We want to see each other be successful, and we want the community to continue to grow. But if we're on, we may wear different colors, but we're all going for the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I'll say this super fast, and then I'm turning over to Pastor and Sharad to. The one thing I would say about that is, like you said, we got a mixture in the military, right? But the business of the military is killing the enemy, right? So they don't really care about our religion. Will you take an oath to kill the enemy if they start tripping? Like, that's I did that as an active duty military member and as a civil servant, and I estimated the bombs to go kill the people. So, like, that's what they about the business of. Now, was I in agreement with doing that? it started hitting me later, right? But like, that's just kind of what it is, you know what I'm saying? But from a faith-based aspect, I'll share this really quick and why it's so important. Sometimes we jump into rituals and different things and we do them without even realizing we're doing them. And we got to be careful of the effect when you study rituals biblically. My wife and I were on a cruise. We were on this cruise, and it was one of the nights, the party nights. And they were like, all right, come to the event. So when we walked into the event, we didn't know nothing about the event. You know, hey, man, I paid for this cruise. I'm going to enjoy every event. So when we walked in, we wind up, hey, I want all of it. So we walked in. We walked on the dance floor. I didn't know we was on the dance floor, right? Getting it like Finn. And so, yeah, y'all know. So the lit knows this story. Well, there were like 10 people total, but there were 5 people in all gold outfits on one side, 5 people in all gold outfits on the other side. So spiritually, as soon as my foot hit the door, the sermon kind of hit me like something's off about that. Okay, Lord. So we're walking now. They just kind of pushing you through, but I saw 2 people eyeing me and my wife. So now, if you know the history of what happens on cruises, like, it got connectivity to some of those false deities like AD was talking about. So we're standing on the dance floor, and me and my wife's cousin are standing next to the DJ booth. They got a bowl sitting right there with a bunch of crowns in it. Interesting. Spirit's still going wild. So I'm standing there, people dancing. The cousin's wife, she doing her thing. She just enjoying, she dancing. We standing there, kind of booted up on the wall. And the person who was looking at us when we walked in, they were doing this ritualistic dance throughout the dance floor. But they would just touch people. And you could see everybody in gold. They would just walk up and touch a person and touch and move to the next. And I was like, this drunk guy bumps the bowl that me and my cousin standing next to. The DJ goes crazy. Don't touch the bowl. Can't touch the bowl. Don't mess with the bowl. So now I'm like, all right, I'm definitely not dealing with this bowl. So we standing there, we looking. I'm looking around, and while the music is playing, you hear somebody get on the mic real faintly, and they start saying, we are gods, and we dance because we're this deities, and we're worshiping this, and we're worshiping that. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this is a ritual. So the young lady who was looking at me and Lana starts walking towards us. And when she saw my face, she was doing her dance and she turned around and walked away. And then a dude, he did the same thing because he was walking towards. He was like, nah, I'm out. And I was like, nah. And so the cousin who was dancing, you know, she don't care, man. She's just doing her thing. She enjoying herself. She dancing. They walk up to her to put the crown on her. And I snatched her arm. I said, yo, don't let them put that crown on you. And she looking at me like, why? And I was like, hey, if you understand the concept of rituals, people get cursed and all that kind of stuff, and they don't know it. They just sung a chant and all that. We gone. And she was like, oh, because she knows me, she was like, oh, don't let them touch me with the crown. So we all walk out and then explain. But that's why we do stuff like this. So that when we're looking at these organizations, we're not mistakenly worshiping false gods. When people go to things like Mardi Gras, you're not mistakenly worshiping false gods. You're not going there with that intent. But if you just look at it, you can tell what it is. It's a ritualistic thing. And all of these things have an effect. And I'm done, sir.
No, that's good. That's all good. Real good. Thanks. I want to thank Will. Thank you all of you for your comments tonight. And I did do a little study, you know, because of the controversies on college campuses, there are organizations now, Greek letter organizations, who are open. They don't have no secrets. They espouse Christian values. And so, therefore, you can join them. You ain't got to go through the beat down. You ain't got to learn the secret handshake and all that. You can just join them and do community service, do good things like that. But I did find several of them. They listed them here when they started and all that. And I thought that was interesting to let you know that, you know, campuses want to keep those type things going, but they realize that, you know, there may need to be an alternative for those folks who really take a deeper look at what they're joining, okay? So, again, go do your research. Anything that we said tonight, you know, definitely go check it out. But like Adrian said, you got to bounce everything off the word, man. I mean, the Bible is pretty clear. And some of the things, I think if we be honest and look deeper into some of them, you can see, okay, I can see where that came from. And then now I got to just make sure that in my heart, in my spirit, I can still deal with that and still feel like I can serve God. Like Ernestine said, you can't serve two masters. You know, you just can't. You know, one going to be take the priority over the other. This ain't going to happen, okay?